Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you. And as we've been saying for weeks, the weather is still wonderful. So, not complaining, just recording.
Bob, I noticed that nearly 30% of the stock market is just five stocks. Your NVIDIA's, the high techs, and that's it? Is that
dangerous?
Yeah,
they also call them the Mag 7.
Yeah.
The Magnificent 7, the inside leaders to that. And that's a sign of, well, everybody focusing on the hot stocks. Now, I did check the advanced decline line for the whole New York Stock Exchange, and it's still going up, so that's constructive. But what we should look at is timing, and there's that old saying about sell in May. Mm-hmm. And go away. Now, with the great financial bubbles, four out of five of them peaked in May, and one peaked in June. And then, but I think there's examples probably of other markets peaking at that time. And we're not going to ask why it does it, but it just seems to do it. So, the point being is that we have had a super rally into the time when rallies can complete. And indeed, so now here's the trick on this, Jim. The action generated all kinds of technical excesses, great warnings, so to speak. And also there is one that is outside of our bank of indicators, and it's called the Hindenburg Omen, which I kind of like the name of. Now, it has to do with upside and downside, advanced declines, 52-week averages or something. It's complicated. But let's put it this way. We've had in the last 2 months, three Hindenburg omens. Usually what you have is two, a confirmed one. Now, the way this works is that some Hindenburgs have registered and not been followed by a crash. But every severe crash was preceded by a Hindenburg. And we have had three of these lately. So I take it as a very strong warning. So here we are at a time when stocks can peak mid-year. And it, on our technical work, generating all kinds of upside excesses. And then now clocking in on somebody else's work, the Hindenburg. It's an omen. And we should honor it. Now, backing up a bit, is on previous years, you can get into the May-June period, and if the technicals are not overbought, guess what? the trend is likely to continue. But when you get very overbought in June, then it's dangerous. So then what we're looking for now is the senior index is kind of choppy, maybe sideways, through July, maybe getting a little nervous in August. And then what we want to look for is that if there's going to be a credit crisis discovered, it's more than likely going to be discovered in the fall. So again, looking at all five previous great bubbles, they drifted through the summer and then started the disaster in late September and with a very heavy October, washed out, you know, a severe cataclysm. And then the markets were sort of exhausted on the downside. And they always had a market test in November, except one. That was the bubble, and it was a huge one that blew out in 1825. And that one, the crisis continued right into through Christmas of 1825 and into January 1826. Could not find a reason why it continued, but it did continue. So, so there's our outline. And the key to it, Jim, we're really beating this up, is technical excesses at the time when the high was probable. And this we have. So what we watch for now, initially after Hindenburg, the first step is a loss of momentum. This one we're getting. And then in a few weeks' time, probably with the senior index is taking out a previous low, you know, where on the way up you'd have a sell-off low, then rally up to new highs. So that would be, first of all, the loss of momentum is critical. And the next is taking out the previous support level. So we're watching for that, Jim.
Yeah. With all this rush to throw money at anything with the letters AI on it, does that remind you of the dot-com bust back in 2000 where you just had to put dot-com on something?
They'd take some shell company, put dot-com to the name, and whoa, boom, boom, away it went. So... And AI, artificial intelligence, it's quite the buzzword, but I think I wrote down a headline here recently that it's AI or crash, a show me the money attitude starting to emerge in the AI mania, and this is from Zero Hedge. So we've, you know, now the other one it's just strange. Scrap metal thieves cause total cause fatal crashes because they're stealing wires that go to street lights and signal lights and stuff like that. But we've had a terrific rally in copper, so we've seen that maybe back in 20 years ago when there was a very high price for copper, 2008, that's when it was. And druggies were desperate to get money from anywhere and were stealing copper wire wherever they could and even getting into transformer substations and getting themselves electrocuted, so... But I haven't met any stories about the dreadful, electrifications of the individual. So who knows? It may come. Now, also, we've got some other headlines here, Jim.
Yes. Headline, U.S. bank profits face pressure from lower interest payments, higher credit losses.
Yep. They're getting squeezed both ways with some money market interest rates have come down. Now, the three-month Treasury bill had a high yield in August, and I just noticed this morning that it looks like, and yields have been declining slightly in a choppy way, but it looks like this morning's start was a new low. So give that thing until next week, and we'll see how it's doing. Now, people out there, pundits and central bankers and financial reporters, are all saying that, the Fed cut's going to be great and it'll get the party going. But again, we repeat this one often. Short rates such as T-bills go up in the boom, and they go down in the bust. And we even have a chart showing the S&P against T-bill rate. It shows a, I can't remember the time, but it was after the big bull market in 2007. And, it shows a time when the S&P was crashing. And with the chart of the three-month Treasury bill there, the yield was crashing as well. So people who are thinking that short rates falling and the Fed cut will help things, it is all intuition, wishful thinking, dreaming, whatever. And you'd think some of them are public spokesmen in Wall Street. You'd think that they would look at the history of interest rates and booms, but they don't seem to bother. They're able to market intuition, and it's amazing to me. So here we are. We can talk next week, Jim, about whether the decline today in the T-bill rate has set the trend of declining short rates.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, a headline that caught your eye from the New York Times. What happens when your bank really isn't a bank and your money disappears?
Oh, yeah. They've had these strange deposit-receiving entities, and then all of a sudden they really weren't set up as like a bank under certain observations and stuff like that, and they just go. And yeah, no, not a healthy situation.
Well, I'm thinking of these cryptocurrency companies where they encourage you to throw your money in. And then we've seen the example, the people running it, guys with woolly hair for some reason, go and spend your money like it's theirs.
Yeah.
And your money disappears and they end up being charged with fraud and you don't get any money back.
Well, that's your old original Ponzi scheme where Ponzi, that was the guy's name, last name.
Hotel clerk from Montreal.
Yep. He was offering higher than market rates of return. The deposits were coming in, but he was using depositor funds to pay the extraordinary high yield to early depositors. And so he had to keep bicycling along, and then eventually it ran out and crashed. But whenever you see an exceptional yield, run for the hills. There's strange things going on, so... Yeah.
Well, make sure that there's deposit insurance in your financial institution. And
Yeah.
But again, they're not going to promise you sky-high returns, are they?
No. No, they don't.
Headline from Reuters. EU watchdog warns of data black holes amid political gridlock.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's economic data coming out that are plunges or whatever, and they're still positive about the U.S. economy, but every once in a while there's a mention of a headline where something plunges. And, of course, I grabbed this one. Mind you, it's EU, but, hey, it's all the same thing. About black data black holes. So, yeah.
Headline. Madness. The grid will drain your EV battery to save itself because electric vehicles can charge to the rescue in blackouts.
Yeah, I hadn't stopped to think about it, but that's a two-way street.
Yeah.
You plug your vehicle into a purposely built charger system, and if there's a shortage in the charging system, it can suck the juice out of your car. So, oh no, people are realizing that electric car, battery-powered cars are very expensive. And, they're dangerous because the batteries do blow up on them all by themselves. In certain municipalities, you're not allowed to park your EV. Sort of like with ordinary cars in underground parking, you have to have it parked outside. And actually, in the condo tower I'm in, I'm working with the Strata Council to say, no electric cars. And I'm not making any headway, but at least I'm making noise, so...
Headline, U.S. commercial property crash is set to deepen the pain elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that one, crash. U.S. commercial property is crashing. So, the headline writers are always looking for sensational, eye-gathering, attention-getting headlines. But the condition is there, so, yeah.
Well, obviously, if the real estate sector is losing money in commercial real estate, they want to make it up somewhere else, and they're going to charge you more.
Yep.
Yeah. Vanke warns of $1.2 billion loss as China's housing slump bites.
Yeah, but Vanke, remember, we've mentioned that firm a few times, and part of that it was Evergrande. Remember Evergrande? Yeah. So, maybe Evergrande has disappeared and Vanke is on the way to becoming disappeared. Yeah. And then there's the other one, Jim, about China dials up scrutiny of big four accounting firms.
Ooh, somebody's going to pay
now,
the price for losses.
They're looking into the integrity of the accounting firms. That's serious stuff.
Well, we look at Vietnam, where they had a giant real estate crash, and the woman who ran the real estate firm now faces the death penalty for fraud.
Whoa. Now, that's a severe penalty. So, yeah. But we should look over. Let's find some fun. I'll go over to the gold sector and... And our work my own work, Jim, as you know, is based upon gold's real price, and particularly gold relative to the CRB commodity index, because I consider the CRB index as a proxy for mining costs. So if mining costs, like i.e. the CRB, is declining relative to the bullion price, you're making money. Now, one of the key costs in mining, of course, is energy. And for that, in a general sense, price of crude oil represents energy. And for the last 6-7 months, both the CRB and crude oil have been declining relative to gold. So any gold mining operations, their costs will be generally coming down. But then you got the old mojo of you want to buy the golds because the dollar's going to crash and the dollar price of gold is going to go up. So now I'll pose a question here. So what happens if you get a 10% rise in gold price in dollar terms and a 50% increase in crude oil prices, which represents mining costs? Well, the companies are not going to be making any money. So the old mojo about dollar down, gold stocks up, that should be put in the ash can of history. And instead, our gold divided by the CRB has been acting very well for 7 months now and recently made a new high, maybe getting a little overbought, needs to have a rest and a correction for a while. But eventually, this is what has happened. The real price will continue to go up. Their profit margins will continue to improve. And you'll have a stream of increasing earnings. So anyone who buys the gold stocks based upon a stream of increasing earnings is making an investment, which is quite the distinction, because if you're buying gold stocks on the old recipe of dollar down, gold stocks up, you're speculating in foreign exchange market fluctuations. And that is, as I said, speculation. So don't, when you have a methodical way of looking at gold stocks, it's really good. Now also, you can get a very good return out of small cap junior gold stocks. And a few months ago we put together a list. I think it's 11 that's in there. And if anybody's interested in the list, they can get in touch with HowStreet.com or with me, Bob Hoy, .com kind of thing. So we'll be glad to mail it out to anybody who is interested.
Chartsandmarkets.com.
Chartsandmarkets.com. We'll use that one too, yeah.
Yeah. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. And we have good weather for us over the weekend.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for Chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.